KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, currently 73 degrees and mostly cloudy here at the KJAN studios in Atlantic. Time now for a check of state and local news, as the news is brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located on 3rd and Chestnut and also 7th and Chestnut here in Atlantic. At about 8:40 this morning, police scanner traffic reported that there is a possible fire at the Griswold Care Center in Griswold. Scanner traffic indicated a fire alarm went off at the Griswold Care Center, as the person calling police suggested that there might be a fire over there. Keep in mind, this report is not yet confirmed, as details are currently sketchy on the situation, as we will try to provide you an update in the next little while this morning here on KJAN. Sentencing is scheduled for today in the case of a Crescent man accused of supplying alcohol that resulted in the death of a Harlan teenager last fall. 27-year-old Dustin Thomas pled guilty to supplying alcohol to an underage person, resulting in death last week. He could face as much as 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. 9 other people were charged in the incident where minors had been drinking at a party. Thomas was arrested in February on accusations that he provided alcohol that resulted in the death of 17-year-old Julio Caceres. On October 11th, Caceres died as a result of the injury suffered in the alcohol incident the previous weekend. Thomas had admitted to the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation that he bought a bottle of black velvet that Caceres drank at the party. Charges were filed following an investigation by the Iowa Department of Criminal Investigation. KJAN News Time is 9:03.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
A Missouri man has been hospitalized after crashing his tractor trailer into the banks of the Nishnabotna River during a rear-end accident on Highway 59 in Shelby County. 46-year-old Robert Anderson of St. Joseph, Missouri, was transported to Mirchu Medical Center with unknown injuries after he had rear-ended a pickup truck. At around 4:45 yesterday afternoon, Anderson was driving a semi-tractor and empty trailer south on Highway 59 in Shelby County near Route F-58. He rear-ended a Ford F-150 driven by Timothy Meyer of Harlan. As a result of the incident, Anderson's tractor-trailer veered off the road and came to rest in the west bank of the Nishnabotna River. Meyer's vehicle came to rest on the shoulder of the road, meanwhile. After the crash, Anderson was transported by medevac ambulance to Mirchu Medical Center. The status of his injuries are currently not known, and it's not also known, if any citations were issued in the incident. Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold a special meeting tomorrow morning at the Cass County Courthouse. On the agenda is a public hearing on the issuance of bonds for the Amazing Energy Urban Renewal Area, consisting of the Northwest Sewer and Waterline Extension Project. Anyone is welcome to speak on the matter and give their input. And if you're not able to attend the meeting tomorrow morning, you can submit written comments to the Board of Supervisors. After public hearing, the board will vote on whether or not they will enter into that bond agreement. The meeting begins at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Cass County Courthouse. For travelers in western Iowa tired of taking a flood detour, the Iowa Department of Transportation is planning for the reopening of Interstate 29. But DOT Maintenance Director Bob Uni is honest in giving a timeline for the reopening, though.
We don't know. The easy answer is we don't know. But we're working on a plan for what we can see that's damaged. And we will explore what we can't see that's covered with water as soon as we can.
Uni expects to reopen Interstate 29 near Hamburg first, which would trigger a reopening in Missouri, which has closed the interstate at Rockport because of the flooding in southern Iowa.
The water is going to eventually go down, and as it goes down, we will clear debris, we'll repair the roadways, we'll investigate. We have for quite some time now, had a list developed of areas that we need to look at. So we have a comprehensive list of areas that were damaged, that were potentially damaged by the flood.
Uni says they've already put together a comprehensive list of areas that could have been damaged by the flood. Uni says there are some areas where it is certain they will have some work to do once the floodwaters recede.
The 680 bridge, the Mormon Bridge, we're positive we have pavement damage there from fast water flowing over the road. It's going to take a little while to repair that, so the water's got to get off the road before we can go in and do repairs. The 175 bridge at Decatur, we are working with the state of Nebraska and the bridge commission owner of the bridge to coordinate what we have to do to assure public safety.
He went on to say that he can't give an exact timeline for the reopening of the complete interstate.
At this point, I think I'm just talking what I wish would happen, and I can't really say anything definitive. We'll know more when we understand the Corps of Engineers release schedule come Friday. I'm pretty positive that we'll get I-29 in southern Iowa open this year. I won't say easily, but it'll get open. Under almost any release schedule, we'll get it open.
I-29, of course, was closed in early June after the Missouri River floodwaters rose. Officials with the Rolling Hills Wind Project say the project is still scheduled to wrap up by the end of this year. On Wednesday, representatives with MidAmerican Energy, Mortenson Construction, and Siemens Energy held a press conference to showcase the project. A wind turbine was displayed at the conference, which allowed attendees to see the turbine up close. They were allowed to sign the blade to commemorate the day's celebration. The blade is about half the length of a football field and weighs 12 tons. Rolling Hills is one of three MidAmerican Energy companies that are taking place this year, actually projects that are taking place this year. The other ones are in Calhoun, Marshall, and Pocahontas counties. Jerry Grundner, the Vice President of Project Development for Mortenson Construction, says the foundations are about 50% complete and the turbines are about 20% complete so far. And when that project does wrap up, the 258 windbine turbine expansion project will add about 593 megawatts of renewable energy. And MidAmerican says that's enough to power about 190,000 homes. Corn producers in Iowa have faced several challenges this year, including heavy rains during planting season, Missouri River flooding, and also windstorms, and most recently extreme heat. Iowa Agriculture Secretary Bill Northey says it appears most of the state's corn crop has prospered, though. He says, quote, "When you look at the crop in total, it's pretty good. Certainly our numbers are in good comparison to other states in many cases, and they have even more problems than we have here in Iowa," unquote. The USDA's crop report last week rated Iowa's corn at 80% good to excellent, and last week's extended run of days with temperatures in the upper 90s came at the same time that corn was pollinating. Northey says it's not good for the corn at that stage to take on that kind of heat, but there was relief in the form of humidity. Authorities say it will be at least until late September or early October before the Missouri River returns to its banks. Upstream water releases at Gavin's Point Dam near Yankton, South Dakota, are scheduled to be cut starting on Saturday, then again on Monday. Paul Johnston of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers District Office in Omaha says it will take time for floodwaters to recede. The crop said it must recede, or the Corps said it must recede the dam's releases slowly, and lest a quick upstream water level raise that risks the downstream levee breaks. Reports say that when the flooding ends, residents, farmers, business officials, and government agencies will be able to determine the damage total from the flood damage. Authorities say an inmate at the Linn County Jail in Cedar Rapids died while he was on a court-ordered leave. The Gazette in Cedar Rapids says 40-year-old James Threat died on Tuesday after someone reported that he wasn't feeling well at an apartment. Threat was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police say there's no evidence to suggest any foul play, but the investigation is ongoing. KJAN News Time is 9:10.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Now taking a look at our funeral announcement, 76-year-old Donald L. Paulson of Exira died on Saturday at the Exira Care Center in Exira. Graveside services will be held this morning at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery west of Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. 97-year-old Edna Grace Campbell of Irwin died on Monday at the Reed House. Funeral services will be held this morning at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. 90-year-old Hugh McCall of Bridgewater died on Tuesday at his home in Bridgewater. Funeral services will be held this afternoon at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Bridgewater. 75-year-old Charles T. Mennett of Washington, D.C. died on Friday at the Kindred Hospital in Richmond, Virginia. Funeral services will be held this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Ottoman, as Kessler Funeral Home in Ottoman will be in charge of the arrangements. 60-year-old Robert Edward Englisch of Washington, Iowa, died at the Mirchu Medical Center, as he died on July 25th, which would have been Monday. Funeral services will be held tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 93-year-old Maxine Ann Artinson of Avoca, and formerly from Shelby, died on Sunday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center in Avoca. Funeral services will be held tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And funeral services are pending for Janet Margaret Hines, who died on Monday in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Once again, services are pending, as Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca will have the arrangements for Janet Margaret Hines. That's a look at news on KJAN, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and also 7th and Chestnut in downtown Atlantic.